Hi everyone, and welcome to the fourth edition of the Yukon Pod. I'm Brenner Pizak, and today I'm joined by Aman Kidwai, manager of the Yukon blog, and Will Morant, the voice of Yukon hockey for 91.7 WHUS Radio and the exclusive provider of Yukon men's hockey throughout the 2014 and 15 season. Guys, great to have you.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
All right, we want to jump right into it here, and we want to get through it quick because it was a rough one against Temple, Amon. It was a really, really miserable showing, as we kind of predicted for the offensive line. But overall, what did you think for the UConn-Temple blowout?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to keep it really short and really sweet. It does not deserve very much of our thought space here. You know, besides confirming for the 8 millionth time that this offensive line is completely insufficient for FBS quality football, we also got a really, really good idea of just how terrible fucking Jeff Hathaway and Paul Pasqualoni were, and just how far back this program was set back by his time with the program. He left the cupboard bare, he did a shit job recruiting, he devastated the culture, and, you know, it's really hard to give Bob Diaco a fair shake or any fair shot at evaluation, just given how much behind the eight ball he was when he took over this program.
And it was such a hard hire at the time, considering Pasqualoni was coming off of a losing couple of seasons at Syracuse, a downward spiral. Then we pick him up, and it seems like that spiral continued. The talent is just, it's nowhere to be found on this squad, save for a few spots on defense, and obviously Jeremy Davis.
Yeah, I mean, you know, Pasqualoni, he moved on from Syracuse, bounced around to a couple of other jobs, and, you know, from our perspective, we hated that hire as soon as it was made. You know, I remember the UConn blog, this was the old team at the UConn blog, you know, wrote a scathing article as soon as he was hired. We thought maybe that Diaco could somewhat quickly maybe bring this program back to somewhat decency. You know, I was optimistic that maybe this wasn't a full-on rebuild, but that is 100% the case here. So, you know, we're talking year zero, blow everything up, really hard to make any conclusions based off of the events on the field. And that's just kind of my take for where we are in the rest of the season. I don't want to completely lose hope. You know, that does not mean things can't change in the coming weeks. We can't see improvement. The hope is that we can see improvement. But, you know, we are in a really shitty spot and possibly even a shittier spot than we had thought. And that's what was becoming crystal clear for me on Saturday as I watched us get beat down at home by Temple.
Yeah, and I think that at this point we're really just looking for, like you said, improvement game to game, trying to find some young talent, right? Trying to find some younger guys that we look like we might be able to build around or at least with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, there are some guys who are impressing the coaches. Arkiel Newsom, you know, that was awesome, breaking that 70-plus yard touchdown on a screen pass. We've got freshman Luke Carrizola doing some good things. You know, I believe in Bob Diaco's ability to add talent to this roster, and I really think that he will. You know, but we're not going to see the fruits of his labors or any of this work that's going on until at least 2, 3, 4 years down the road. So that's the state of things right now, and, you know, not really worth discussing that much further.
Right. So in that vein, let's just basically move right on and actually talk about something that is kind of exciting, is really exciting, actually, and it's UConn hockey and the great opportunity that they have to join the upper echelon of college hockey. And Will, can you kind of talk to us about the situation for UConn right now?
Yeah, well, it's a very unique situation. If you look really across the college hockey landscape over the past 5 years or so, there's really no other program that you can compare this to. You look at emerging programs such as Penn State, where they moved from club to Division I, not quite the same thing. You look at Notre Dame, who was a really top-end program that moved into Hockey East. That's not quite the same thing. Connecticut is a program that had a lot of tradition, and over the past 4 years has gone through a multitude of changes on a number of different levels to emerge ready to go in this upper echelon of teams. And it's a very unique situation and unprecedented really over the recent history of college hockey. So it's a very exciting situation for the players and the coaches everybody surrounding that situation at UConn hockey, and they're excited to try and be part of something special. And obviously that's going to take some time, but as of now they're focused on getting their foot in the door and establishing a culture and starting to help this program grow so that they can one day be a part of that discussion in the national picture and show that they really belong in that top tier.
Cool. So, you know, you mentioned that this is an unprecedented move. So what do you think was the motivation then for Hockey East, the conference, in adding UConn?
Well, I think UConn's name brand has to be the main driving force behind that. There were a number of different teams that could have been targeted, even from Connecticut's old conference in Holy Cross. RPI was in that mix. RIT, who just 4 or 5 years ago was in the Frozen Four and has really been the class of Atlantic hockey for a number of years. But I think you look at UConn's academic record and you look at their athletic record and the ability to achieve greatness quickly, all you have to do is go back and look at how quickly their football program rose to prominence and how quickly they were competing on the national stage. I think that is something that really caught Hockey East and made them want to jump at the chance to add UConn as their 12th member.
Cool. So, you know, we're going to pretend here, obviously, that anyone listening to this podcast right now, you know, they're probably a very avid UConn fan, probably don't really know a whole lot about UConn hockey and its history and traditions. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about kind of the roots of this program. Tell us about our roots. I mean, you said a couple of years ago we weren't even taking or offering scholarships for hockey.
Yeah,
right?
Hockey was a non-scholarship sport as recently as a couple of years ago. And you have to go back, you know, before Mike Cavanaugh, the head coach here, you have to go back 25 years before you find a different head coach, because Bruce Marshall has been at the helm or had been at the helm for 25 years, and he had brought this program from a Division III program all the way up to forming the MAC conference, in which they won a championship in 2000, and then eventually forming Atlantic Hockey. Coach Marshall was a guy who won over 200 games in his UConn career and had a really nice job at establishing UConn in Division I at that level at the time as a pretty good hockey program when you consider where it came from. But Coach Marshall has since stepped down from the program, and it has all kind of been part of this enormous exponential growth of the program to where it needs to be and where it is now. And that's going to Atlantic Hockey was a conference that didn't offer scholarships, and UConn wasn't part of that. And as such, you don't get the top-tier guys. UConn has only had up to this point one NHL player of real note, and that was Todd Krieger, who played for a number of years in the NHL, including a stint with the Hartford Whalers, and he's now a head coach in the United States Hockey League, the premier junior program in the United States, and he is a former UConn assistant coach on his staff there as well. But Cole Schneider, 2 years ago, set UConn records in Atlantic hockey, and he's now a member of the Ottawa Senators organization, and Connecticut now has a few draft picks who have committed and are a part of this team. So Connecticut's history is one that has always been about growth, from their growth as a Division III program all the way up to Division I, and now looking at the different stages of Division I, moving from Atlantic Hockey up to Hockey East. It's been incredible to watch, especially over these past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit then about you know, the team that we have this year. So ostensibly the juniors and seniors, you know, came from the era before we were giving scholarships, but we do have some talented guys. So can you tell us about some of the key players on the team this year?
Yeah, absolutely. It does start up top with the upperclassmen, and despite not being scholarship players, they're a good group. And because they're not scholarship players, typically they come in at a higher age than some of the scholarship players. So there are guys on this team that are 23, 24 years old and are man size, and that's an advantage in a lot of ways. You look at UMass Lowell, who's been a Hockey East champion numerous times over the past couple of years and has been a national threat to the likes of Boston College and Boston University and the top-tier programs. They recruit big, older guys. So it can work, and that's what Connecticut is going to be based off of for this upcoming year and most likely the year after before they get a real infusion of younger talent. But it starts at the top with the seniors, a group led by Trevor Gerling and Cody Sherub and Brad Smith and Ryan Tyson. Those are guys who provide leadership. Trevor Gerling is exceptionally skilled. He's a wonder to watch with the puck on his stick. Cody Sherrod is a bull. He plays so strong below the goal line. He enters the zone with such force along the boards, and he has great foot speed for a guy his size. He can really accelerate well, and he's very tough to play with. He's dealt with some injuries, but when he's healthy, he's a matchup problem on a number of different levels, whether it be forward of the goal line or in transition. He can do a lot of things well for this UConn team. And Ryan Tyson is the captain of Connecticut, along with Patrick Kirtland and Trevor Gerling, who are his assistants. Is a very smart, very capable two-way player. He played this past season with Joey Ferris and Patrick Kirtland on a third line that was really a shutdown line, matched up against the top units of other teams, whether it was Boston University or whether it was Providence College. They were always out there against the top-tier players, the Ross Mowermans of Hockey East and the Robbie Belagerons of Boston University. And those were the guys that he was tasked with going against on a night-to-night basis. And I thought he did a pretty good job of handling himself in those situations. And I've been fortunate enough to be able to speak with Ryan and know him in my years at Connecticut. And he's a very bright, very capable, very strong leader and hockey player. And UConn is in good hands entering this new era with him at the helm along with his two assistants. And you go through the younger guys that are on the team now and the sophomore core of Ryan Sagala, who's a Pittsburgh draft pick, and Yonah Kunis, who absolutely has NHL-level skill, and David Drake, who's a Philadelphia Flyers draft pick. He has great size, great ability. He's going to be an asset to UConn's blue line. Tyler Cook is an older guy who has tremendous athleticism and is really an asset to have there. And Connecticut really has some good young players to bring into this infusion of talent. Kasperi Ojantakinen is a young man from Finland who is coming over, and he was just on the cusp of making the Finnish U-20 World Junior team that plays in that holiday time tournament. He could make that this year, and he's a very, very skilled player despite being a little undersized. So Connecticut has a lot of really good young talent that will help propel them to that next level. But as Coach Kavanaugh says constantly, you win with your seniors and you win with your upperclassmen. And the freshmen are going to be a big part of their transition into Hockey East, but they're going to have to rely on Patrick Kirtland and Trevor Gerling and Cody Sherrod and Ryan Tyson and Brad Smith to be able to win hockey games this year.
So with that being said, Will, what is sort of the signature style of play for the team this season?
Well, the style of play for Connecticut is going to be get the puck and go. And that starts with the ability of the defenseman to be able to move the puck quickly up the ice and get the forwards involved. It's all based on speed. It's driving into the zone, getting chances off the rush, and then once you're established in the offensive zone, use your speed along the wall, use your speed below the goal line, create opportunities off the cycle using that style of play. And Connecticut really relies on their forwards in a defensive sense of getting back on the back check. They want to protect their defense by tracking the puck through the neutral zone with their forwards so the defenseman can kind of back off, and the forward's going to come through and track that puck down and try and create a turnover, and then you're going right back the other way. So that's really the fundamentals of what Connecticut is based off of. They want to protect their defense. They want to turn the puck back up ice. They want to get shots and opportunities using their speed, which they feel is one of their biggest assets.
Awesome. So it sounds like we're talking about an exciting style of hockey, which will be perfect for the fans. Will, what are some of the key matchups that you kind of circled when you saw the schedule for this season come out?
I think there's a couple of them, and it starts immediately with Penn State. I think Penn State's a real barometer program for Connecticut because, as we mentioned kind of at the top of the podcast, is the situation with Penn State and UConn is very much the same, with Penn State being a very young program coming into the Big Ten Conference and having to compete at that level very quickly. And UConn has played with them and beaten them in the past when they were in Atlantic Hockey, but it's a different team now, and UConn's going to have to go into a building in Penn State that was raucous, and they sold out their student tickets in 3 minutes, and UConn's going to have to compete with that and try and get out in front of that team. And then you look to Hockey East. It obviously starts with Merrimack, and then the first big circle is Boston College on November 5th at home in Hartford. That's a huge matchup. Obviously, Coach Kavanaugh has a connection there, and Boston College is absolutely the class of Hockey East and has been really the class of college hockey for the last decade or so. So I would say that it starts with Penn State and Boston College. Those are the two beginning games that I would look at. And then I would say maybe going out to Notre Dame and playing against a team like Providence and Hartford as well. Those are really good barometer programs, as Amon mentioned. Providence picked to win Hockey East by the coaches as well as the media. So that's a top-tier program, and Nate Lehman has done a really nice job out in Providence getting that program going. So UConn has a lot of really great matchups, both in-conference and out-of-conference. They have the holiday tournament in Bridgeport. They're going to play Union. They'll have the chance to play UMass Lowell in that tournament. So it could really be a good tournament down in Bridgeport for Connecticut come holiday time.
All right, so that'll be something to look forward to. You mentioned Providence, Will, and how they were picked to finish first in the league. UConn was actually picked to finish last. So can you tell me, do you think that's accurate? Do you think that maybe that's because we're the new guy on the block? Is it just what is your assessment of that pick?
Yeah, I think it's probably a little bit of all that. Obviously, UConn is a little bit behind the ball just on the aspect of not being able to provide full scholarships. They don't have a full scholarship roster. They probably won't for the next couple of years. So that kind of puts them behind the ball there. But I think UConn probably has a roster that matches very well up against the likes of Merrimack and UMass Amherst. So I think UConn has a chance to really surprise some teams. And if you talk to anybody within that program, they'll tell you the same thing. But it doesn't necessarily always come down to skill level. And there are teams that provide matchup problems, and there are teams that provide goaltending issues. And you look at a school like New Hampshire who loses Casey DeSmith because of an off-ice issue. Things change over the course of a season. So I tend not to put a whole lot of stock in preseason polls. And UConn was a team that 4 years ago won 16 games in Atlantic Hockey. And that's tough to pick a team out of the basement when their recent history suggests that they were below 500 in a conference that is not Hockey East. So I think part of it might be when you look at maybe media or coaches' polls, people operating off the old stereotype of what UConn hockey was rather than what they are now, and as well as just kind of being the new kid on the block and people just wanting to see what they're going to bring to the table before they really take a stand and pick them somewhere different than the bottom.
Cool, yeah. I mean, I was going to say, I thought we had a, again, I was following from afar, but we had a better-than-expected season last year, right, in our final year in the old conference, and actually beat Providence. And I think, again, like I said, we even exceeded expectations within Atlantic Hockey last year, right?
Yeah, UConn had a good season. The last couple of years have been the best in terms of wins that they've had in their program's history. I think UConn was a little disappointed in where they finished in terms of postseason last year. They lost to Robert Morris at home in the second round of Atlantic Hockey after securing a bye for the second straight year. But they were able to go out and compete against some top-tier national programs. As you mentioned, they beat number 9 Providence on the road. First time ever Connecticut has beaten a top 10 program. That was a huge marquee win for UConn. And they also beat UMass Amherst. So they had 2 wins last year against Atlantic Hockey, Hockey East opponents while still in Atlantic Hockey. So a good sign for Connecticut that they could compete with those teams, one at home, one on the road. The UMass game was actually in Hartford, so Connecticut has shown a competency to be able to win in Hartford at the arena that they're going to call home for their foreseeable future against their Hockey East foes. So good to see UConn from that perspective. So I guess it kind of varies on how you look at it. They were disappointed in the end result and not getting to the national tournament by winning their league. But in terms of long term, I think they're pretty happy with being able to make a statement against some good programs in UMass and Providence.
Very cool. So you mentioned the home for the foreseeable future in Hartford. I can imagine, you know, a key part of the experience here with UConn hockey would be being able to have some sort of on-campus facility. Do you want to talk a little bit, I guess, about the future of the program on campus, what we can expect, what's going down? What's the agreement with Hockey East in terms of what kind of accommodations we'll have?
Yeah, absolutely. UConn is not going to stay in Hartford forever. It's a good thing that they're in Hartford for now. They're going to be able to reach throughout the state to bring in new fans. That's kind of the inspiration behind going down to Bridgeport and playing in Hartford and playing at the Taft School against Sacred Heart to be able to expand the brand and get people involved and excited about this team. But ultimately, you can't be successful at this level of college hockey without a really good on-campus facility. And that will come eventually for Connecticut. Obviously, there are other projects. You look at the basketball facility on campus, public knowledge that is still in need of some, you know, being paid off. And you have to think that things like that, existing projects are going to need to be taken care of before UConn really focuses in on creating a new campus, a new arena on campus. But I know that they're actively going about it in the right ways, and they're bringing in people to make sure that they're going to be on track for when those opportunities present themselves. And if you realize what UConn has gone through to support their football program and their basketball program with the new facilities on campus, you can't have any doubt that they're going to do the same with hockey, and that can only be an asset to the people who are in charge of this program, Coach Kavanaugh and Coach Pereira and Coach Souza, who are excellent coaches, not just on the ice, but recruiting as well. Having an on-campus facility, the likes of which UConn will most likely get based on previous facilities, is going to be a real asset for this team moving forward.
And yeah, I think, you know, one of the really exciting, you know, parts about this is that, you know, unlike football, where we do not sit in or near any sort of talent pool, there's a lot of talent in the area. We have proximity to Canada. You know, I imagine Storrs is like a cool, you know, or like a familiar place if you're a hockey prospect from Minnesota or something like that. So I imagine we have the opportunity to get some of that really good in-state and area talent that's available. Right?
Definitely. Yeah, no question. Connecticut has been a real breeding ground for some top-tier guys that other programs have taken advantage of. You look at Boston College, who has pumped out top-tier talent from Connecticut. UMass Amherst has pumped out top-tier talent from Connecticut. UConn now has the ability, as the state university, to tap into that talent pool. And when you have guys who have the track record of Coach Kavanaugh, who was recruiting at the highest level for Boston College in this area for almost two decades, that's an enormous asset. Coach Souza, who was an assistant coach at Brown, who was really part of one of the most underrated coaching staffs, along with Coach Wittett out of Brown, really did a tremendous job supporting that program. And Joe Pereira, who is an outstanding young coach and is going to be a real asset to this program for a number of years to come, has great connections. He played professional hockey. He knows a ton of people. He played at Boston University. He played in Connecticut. He played South Kent School for prep hockey, and he was in Connecticut for his high school hockey before that as well. So they all know the area, and it's a tremendous area to be able to recruit from, and they have the assets and the connections to be able to tap into that. And that's already been shown in the talent that they've been able to get so far. They've accrued a really nice talent pool of young players to come in future seasons, and that's all a testament to their ability to go out and find these guys and convince them of their vision for this program.
Well, that's good. That's really awesome, and a stark contrast from where we stand from a football perspective. So we've got Mike Kavanaugh. He's a BC guy. He came from BC, knows how to build a program, knows how to recruit, has a really good reputation. We sit in the talent pool. So I'm going to ask you kind of the million-dollar question, the question on everybody's mind. How long will it take for us to be relevant in this conference, as well as nationally? I know we've seen some programs like Quinnipiac be able to rise really, really quickly, you know, making the finals a couple of years ago. Can UConn do the same?
Yeah, I definitely think UConn can do the same. They have the right people in place to be able to do that. As far as putting a number on it, I don't know if I could give you a number or a range. You certainly hope it's in the area of 3 to 5 years. I don't know if that's necessarily realistic. It very well might be with the coaching staff in place at Connecticut, but I think people oftentimes tend to underestimate just how good Hockey East is and how good the national stage has gotten, not just the traditional powers like Minnesota and Boston College and Boston University, but now there are teams like Union and other teams that have joined the conversation about you know, becoming a top-end talent. You mentioned Quinnipiac that has rose at a relatively quick level, but I think UConn absolutely has the potential to be able to do that when you look at the recruiting prowess and the coaching ability of Mike Kavanaugh and Coach Souza and Coach Pereira. And I always mention them as a group because it's not just a singular effort. You know, Coach Kavanaugh is one of the nation's foremost recruiters, and he has a track record as such, but he can't do it all by himself, and he's backed up by a couple of assistant coaches that really are great recruiters in their own right. Anyone who has met these two guys, Coach Souza and Coach Pereira, can attest to their ability, and they are widely respected throughout the college hockey landscape, both as players and now as coaches. And Connecticut is going to be a real rising power with those three guys at the helm and going out and being able to find talent. And you look at a guy like Tage Thompson, who just committed from the National Team Development Program, the very best of that level in terms of U.S. talent at the Junior Hockey League level, and he was convinced enough to come play at Connecticut, and that trend is going to continue. He took a tour at Boston College, he took a tour at Providence, he took a tour at New Hampshire, he took a tour at, I believe, Brown. Top teams from the ECAC as well as Hockey East, and he bought into the message that Coach Kavanaugh and Coach Souza and Coach Pereira were selling, and that is a great sign for UConn fans to be able to build talent and accrue talent and be able to compete at that level.
It's awesome.
It sounds like an exciting future for UConn hockey for sure. And you mentioned that actually the first regular season game is going to be a really important game, sort of a barometer, as you said, against Penn State, and that's next weekend, guys, October 10th and 11th, and I believe, Will, they're playing a two-game series?
Yeah, it's Friday at 7 o'clock and then Saturday at 3:30.
All right, perfect. And don't forget, UConn exhibition game this Sunday, 2 o'clock against Dalhousie, kind of get the season started off and kind of shake the rust off.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a chance to play against some older guys who have played together for a while and are tough, and Connecticut can go out and make sure that their concepts have been getting through to their kids and making sure that when the time comes where the puck drops in Happy Valley, that they have the right lineup that's going to help them win their first game. And it's going to be an important game, and I'm really looking forward to seeing the new infusion of talent and the returning guys, because everybody takes a step forward.
Awesome, for sure. So thank you so much, Will, for your time. And we're going to wrap up the fourth episode here of the UConn Pod with our final thoughts. Aman, send it over to you, your final thought for this week.
Yeah, sure. I'm not sure if this was covered at all, but 2015 football recruit quarterback Tyler Davis, who actually joined us on the very first episode of the UConn Pod, has actually plans to graduate early and will be enrolling early at UConn and joining the team in the spring. So exciting development at the quarterback position for us. You know, we had a chance to speak with Tyler. He's a great kid, great head on his shoulders, smart guy, going to get involved early. He's handpicked by the new coaching staff and seems to be a dual-threat quarterback. So really excited for his arrival on campus and the arrival of the first 2015 football recruit very soon.
And any type of threat at quarterback sounds like a good change of pace for UConn football fans right about now. Will, how about you? Final thought for this week.
I just wanted to touch back on the hockey thing, and I was thinking earlier today about what I had heard Bill Polian said, who is a six-time NFL Executive of the Year, who was talking about what type of manager he was and how he felt that the details were so important, and that if you were slovenly on the details, you were going to be slovenly on the field. And I think it's important to note that UConn coming into this year has the experience of a coaching staff that's been together and a team that's been together under that coaching staff. And last year was always a learning experience for UConn. Wherever they went, every team, every road trip, every game was really new for that coaching staff. And as they come into Hockey East, they have a group that's familiar in that league, whether it be coaching with Coach Kavanaugh or playing and coaching with Coach Souza and Coach Pereira. They have now been together, and even the details, like Morgan Hall, who's the director of hockey operations, now has a year under his belt and is now full-time in that role. And I think UConn is going to be able to use that fact that they are now solid on the details, that we're going to see that carry over onto the ice. And I hope everybody is as excited about this upcoming season as I am and the team is. And I hope that people can come out and support the program and that it really starts to become a fixture of UConn athletics for years to come.
You heard him, guys. Get out there, start banging some boards, and let's get raucous for UConn hockey this year, because they're stepping up, so our support needs to step up as well. And that's going to do it, guys, for this week's edition of the UConn Pod. For Aman Kidwai and Will Moran, I'm Brenner Pizak. Thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.